Kutsal Nigari, Pachyakti Devi Sataya. Om Adyantam Adyantasya, Adyantam Asavataya, Aksara Sumanatam Yena Tasman, Sri Bhavai Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavishtam, Stapitam Dena Mutale, Sayam Upakadamayam, Adati Sapandantikam. Once a couple of Kupas Jack, Kupas and the Lady Vishal, Patitanam Pagadi, Vivasimaya Dhamma.
Anyone remember anything from what we spoke about last week? Difficult question. May remember the book we were reading, though. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila. And in chapter 17, Mahaprabhu was going towards Vrindavan. He's gone in a very private, lonely way. And he's done so many amazing, wonderful things along the path. And he's teaching us, as we'll actually find out today, something we've been mentioning again and again, that he's teaching, by his example, he's teaching us how we can go to Vrindavan on pilgrimage and how we can also go to Vrindavan looking at our life as a pilgrimage itself. He's finally arrived in the Mathura Mandala, the district of Mathura Vrindavan, and he went into the Keshavji temple, the birthplace of Chaitanya, of Krishna, and he was dancing. He was feeling so much ecstasy because his mind was anticipating going there and being there long before his body arrived. So that brings up a very important point, that it's important what we anticipate and desire internally in our mind. And so often we go, we learn the externals, the testarupa, the externals of what it means to be a devotee, but we tend to neglect the internals, the mood, and that's the whole thing. The mood of devotion, that I'm doing this for you. I'm not just doing it because this is what I do. Not like that. But doing it for you and for your pleasure. And if we can extend that to all the elements of our life, we are doing very well. Because it's important to also not lead a divided life. With a divided mind, in the sense this part's for Krishna and this part's for me and my needs and desires, etc. We want to unify our life and therefore we'll have power to achieve the goal. But the problem is, not the problem, but the challenge is to even have the goal in mind. And Mahaprabhu, throughout his teachings, the Bhagavatam, throughout the teachings, Prabhupada, throughout his teachings, say, prema parama artho mahan, the great call is love for Krishna in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Not that we prematurely act on a level that's imitative of great exalted devotees, but that call should be in the mind. Just like if you get in your car, or in some cases on your bicycle, or in some cases on the bicycle in your room. Stationary bicycles. Say if I'm getting on my bicycle or my car and I'm going somewhere, of course I have to keep it in my mind where I'm going, otherwise the decisions to go left or to go right don't have any meaning until I have ascribe the goal. And even on an exercise bicycle, you have to have a goal of your exercise. It's not, you're obviously not going to travel very far, but you want to exercise your muscles and breathe, cardio levels and et cetera, et cetera, burn up calories or something. You have to have a goal. When I say you have to have a goal, I don't mean you have to have a goal, because most people don't have a goal, so they don't have to have a goal. You can't force someone to have a goal, but it's in our interest to have an actual goal in our life, so then we could even measure how much our activities are bringing us to the goal and see if there's any adjustments that have to be made. And generally speaking, there are always some adjustments that would make, that would help. So one has to be quite conscious to do that in addition to having a goal. And then you have to be practical. I can't do everything at once, but at least I can move forward with a step. So Mahaprabhu has arrived and he's spoken to the Mathura Brahmana. Does anyone remember the name of the community that he was part of? You remember? Yeah?
Sardinia?
Yeah. Sanodia, something like that, who were the Brahmins, the advisors of a particular, not very high class of Vaishyas who didn't follow any principles. And they weren't considered very highly developed, so usually Mahaprabhu, a sannyasi, wouldn't take prasadam there because he had a goal. He's renounced the world for a particular purpose. And he didn't want something mundane to get in the way of his purpose. This is a general rule for the sannyas order that would turn over his accomplishing what he wanted to do with his human life. So Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi generally wouldn't have taken food, lunch, at the house of this kind of a brahmana, but because Madhavendra Puri did, that was established. And then came the topic that is very essential. The most essential point of this is coming. And Mahaprabhu has just said this because there's so many religious books. And even in the Vedic tradition, there's the Vedas, there's the Puranas, there's Sattvika Puranas, Tamasika Puranas, and then there's Rajasi Puranas, and there's the Itihas, and then there's the Vedanta Sutra and the Brahmanas, and different books. And then you add to that the Bible, the Quran, the Old Testament, the New Testament. So, and everyone says, you should follow my way, my books. And the Jains have their books and the Buddhists have their sermons of Buddha. And that are from the Deer Park in Patna. So everyone's saying, read, 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 read. This is the way, this is the one. So how does one know what to follow? So one has to be quite, you could say at one level, you could say very intelligent. Another level, you could say very lucky. Another level to say somehow or another, well, that's the lucky part. Krishna has pointed one. So Mahaprabhu says that he will take prasadam. He will take lunch, bhikkha, or bhiksha, in the house of the Brahmana, with the Brahmana cooking, because Madhavendra Puri did it. So then he says, dharma stapana hetu sadura vyavaraha. Puri Gosai, ye achara, the activities of, the actions of Madhavendra Puri, Puri Gosai, se dharma sar. This is the essence of what the religious principles are, the following of the religious principles are. So later it's going to say that, well, this is such a long purport here. So this is so important, and then the later will come soon. So it's a long purport, and it's probably best if I don't read it word by word now, because It would take very, very long, and also then I'd have to probably wake everyone up at the end, or in the middle, or after the first two paragraphs, because just that's the way it is. So here is the Dharma Stapana Hetu. This is to establish the principles of religion. Sadhura Vyavaha, the behavior of a sadhu, the behavior of a devotee, that establishes what religious principles are. So what's interesting about that point that Mahaprabhu was making? We're required. Yes, you see, you're ready to go. Go ahead, and then Gopal.
Follow the Mahajans.
Yes. So what? And so that's interesting about that. You were to say something.
Yeah, similar to last week. That like you mentioned so many scriptures, but here it seems to follow. To follow someone who has developed God's love.
Yeah. Well, first you have to know what the goal is. If the goal is love for your goal is prema, love for Krishna, then you follow someone who understands the scriptures, the Shastra, as teaching that ultimately, because it teaches so many different things. Because it's the Vedas especially are very inclusive. And they because their perspective is eternity, very different from the what they call the Abrahamic scriptures, who think that you only have one life. So if someone doesn't get everywhere in this life, in the Vedas, then there's the next life, and then there's the next life. And gradually, because eternity is a very long time, it's even more than 100 years. So someone who's actually achieved the full goal, and that one has to be, again, one has to understand what the goal of the whole thing is before one can see who one's Mahajan is. And that's what Prabhupada is going to explain for the first part of the purport. He goes very much, he goes slowly, and he goes point by point, and he's actually basically including the entire long commentary of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, this is interesting, a sadhu, or honest man. A sadhu is an honest man. It's called a Mahajan, or a Mahatma. So they're all meaning the same thing. That's saying a holy person is actually a Mahajan who we should follow, or a great soul, a Mahatma. And then he defines that in the Bhagavad Gita from the 9th chapter, Mahapanas Tumampata, Daivam Prakritamajit. He's taking shelter of the internal energy of Krishna. So this is, of course, there can be a lot of philosophy to explain this, but he's taking shelter of Krishna's service. This is what a Mahatma Sadhu is. And all the other souls who are considered Mahatmas, and the famous one is who's not a devotee. How come you're the only one? You're not even from that place. How come you couldn't answer that? No, I said, okay, who's the famous one who's not a Mahatma? Okay, Gandhi. Shh. We don't want to get insulted. So Prabhupada's going to, so he's going to make the point one after the next, after the next, after the next, that according to what you want, according to what your desire is, according to your consciousness, you're going to designate one person or another a Mahajan or a Mahatma or a Sadhu, because he's the one you're going to follow, because he's the one who's either achieved or he's speaking strongly about the goal that you have cherished the most. So he says that mundane religionists and people who are mundane materialists also have their sadhus. So if or Mahajans who they want to follow. So who's an example of someone who's considered a Mahatma, who's just a complete materialist, not a patriot or anything like that even? Who do people want to follow nowadays? Who's the most famous of the materialistic Mahatmas who everyone goes ahead?
Elon Musk.
He's overturned, what's his name? Bill, can't even remember his name anymore. Bill something about something that swings. A gate. Oh yeah, Bill Gates. No one even remembers him anymore. He's disappeared because I think he was a bit of a naughty boy, and better that he disappeared. So, you know, he's the Mahatma, and everyone, if not worship him, you know, oh, Elon Musk said this, Elon Musk said that, and everyone does it. But I'll give you a hint. If he says, do you want to volunteer to be on the spaceship that goes to Mars, don't volunteer. It's just personal suggestion. So then he goes through, for materialists, there's Janmani, who are Vedic, there's Janmani Rishi, and then if you're a yogi, Patanjali, or they have their contemporary Mahajans, and you follow them. And then and on the materialistic side, there's philosophers. People have their philosophers, they're historians, literary men, public speakers. So, and politicians, sometimes they're accepted as Mahajans. It depends on what you value. So, and then Prabhupada, he puts them all into one little box and said that, Svavid Virahosta Karai. So if you're a dog, if you're like a dog or a camel or a hog, you praise those people who also have that mentality. And these kind of people, they don't listen to the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Gadagrazali, who carries the club, the deliverer from evils, Prabhupada translate here. So psychiatrists, physicians, social workers who are trying to remove the bodily pains of people, mental pain, sometimes they're considered Mahajans. Or even official priests who don't really know the actual goal, who just follow the ritual, sometimes they're considered Mahajans. And then he says, sometimes people accept as Mahajans Putana, Trinavarta, Vatsa, Bhaka, Agasura, Dhanuka, Kaliya, Pralamba, anyone as a particular follower of Pralamba? So how about Kamsa? And some people accept imitators those who are adversaries of the Supreme Lord. Like today, nowadays, there's even so many people that we can become God. I was listening to a lecture where Prabhupada this morning was saying, just out and out, there's demons, people who speak like that, but yet others follow them just like they were their great Mahajans and great Mahatmas. So one by one, Prabhupada says that these people don't know the value of devotional service. Either the people who are the Mahajans for those lesser desires, and also the people who are fallen, they just don't know the value of devotional service. So what does that mean? What do you understand from that point? They don't know the value of devotional service. What does that do to your mind? In your mind, how do you deal with that sentence? Yes?
You're compassionate
with people? Oh, well, that's your kindness. I was thinking more in the way of, well, do I know the value of devotional service? So what is the value of devotional service? How much do we accept the value of devotional service? According to that, what do you have to value? You have to value the goal of devotional service, then the process to attain the goal is valued. If you value the goal, then you value the process. If you don't value the goal, you won't value the process. So the more that we understand the goal, and the more cherished that is, so Ramananda Roy said to Mahaprabhu, and it's there in Sri Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, Tatra Loyam, the more we have desire for the goal, and we won't have the desire until we really value it. And we won't value it until And you won't value the goal until you value the... Yeah, go ahead, you were going to say... So I was wondering what people were going to say to that one.
Until you stop trying to be the goal, or trying to be in the center of attention?
I'm sorry.
Until you stop... You won't value the goal of Krishna until you stop trying to be...
Yeah, that's the pushing it away. But I guess that sentence is to make us think... What would it take for me to actually value that goal? So you answered in a very good way, no longer affected by false ego, basically, with imagining myself as the center, and on the other hand, getting a taste for that, getting a real taste for that. And then the question comes, well, here I am in my condition attached to the things that I'm not supposed to be attached to, and I don't have much of a taste for the things that I'm supposed to have a taste for, then what do I do? Well, that's the process of devotional service. So, of course, we don't want to talk too much in that direction, because then we won't get through this long purport. So what is that process? And Prabhupada uses the term, These leaders of these activities, these so-called Mahajans, he says, they're misleaders, actually. And the ordinary man can't understand, and we see this, they can't understand how they're being misled. Nor do they even care to understand that false misled means false goals. Goals that are really not truly valuable are placed in our consciousness. And we revere them as most valuable because the people that we admire revere them. So instead of just listening to everyone, what should we do? So Prabhupada starts speaking about sadhu, shastra, and guru. And this is interesting. A sadhu, so I'm reading now, a sadhu is a great personality, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, we should follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the shastras are the injunctions because they reveal the path. The great Mahajans reveal the path. We should listen to their words and follow their example, but not imitate. Then the shastras are the injunctions of revealed scriptures. And then, this I thought was very interesting, Prabhupada says, or the guru or spiritual master is one who confirms the scriptural injunctions. So the sadhu, Prabhupada is saying, the great souls are perfectly following them, and the shastras, and the guru is pointing to, yes, this is the essence of the shastra. And this is because there's so many different shastras, we were mentioning that before. So the guru points, this is the shastra, this is the injunction that you should follow. So that means he has the capacity to do that because he has understood the goal of the shastras. A man covered, accepting the guidance of these three is the actual way of following the Mahajans for real advancement in life. A man covered by illusion cannot understand the proper way. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Dharma stapina hetu sadhura vyavahar. The behavior of a devotee is the criterion for all other behaviors. So it's very systematic, but it goes on. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the devotional principles. He followed the principles and he taught. He relished Vrindavan. So we had mentioned earlier many times that Mahaprabhu, by his, he's doing two things always at once. One, he's personally relishing. And he's teaching at the same time. He's setting the perfect example, and he's relishing himself, and he's teaching others, if you want this, here's the path that you follow. And therefore, Puri Gosai, Mahaprabhu says, Ye Acara, the activities of Madhavendra Puri, say dharmas, are there the essence of religiosity, of religion. They are the essence of Shastra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally followed the behavior of Madhavendra Puri and advised others to follow his principles. And then Prabhupada, after making this very important statement, he says, unfortunately, people identify with the body and the place's birth is worshipable, and they go to pilgrimage places not to associate with devotees, so they're considered just like what? Gokara, cows or asses or something, donkeys. So then Prabhupada explains that don't be carried away by the waves of maya, of illusion, that will place so many desires in your heart. And he gives some examples, even just social customs, that the acting just the way you're supposed to act, because this is the way we act properly. And behavior, and the behaviors, they forget to follow the path chalked out by Mahajans. So this is a very radical statement, especially in the world nowadays, because people, I mean, social customs have their reason for existing so that society can go on. So it may not be the highest of values, but at least it's, the social customs somewhat civilized. Every area of the world will have their social customs. So it adds some cooperativeness and agreement to a social group. But nowadays, tell people not to follow social customs and they think, wow, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. I can just do whatever I want. So that's not good either. We should make the highest goal our goal, and that we should learn from the Mahajans. So then Prabhupada explains in Madhya, later on in Madhya Lila, chapter 25, he says that, if one doesn't follow the footsteps of the Mahajanas, our plans for happiness will be frustrated. So that's the, if you don't do this, you're not going to get the result of prema bhakti. And not only that, but the other, like if you want to, if you have other Mahajans and you're following that, you can't be happy in that way. And as we've mentioned before, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that if you have actually realized that no thing in the material world can bring you happiness, no situation. We look at others and they have something, their own, their own helicopter that brings them to their own big yacht, and et cetera, which carries them to their own private jet plane, which carries them to their own personal island. And there it's whatever your heart's desire can be fulfilled. So no matter what our desires are, unless we can't be happy, and unless we accept that the fulfillment of our material desires, regardless of what they are, how huge they are, cannot bring us happiness. When one has accepted no situation in the material world can bring us happiness, then one has taken the greatest step forward in spiritual life. That's what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that Prabhupada cited. So then the question comes, well, what do I do if I do have some material desires? Well, then one has to, that's sort of the best one can almost do in this world, is just somehow or another use everything in Krishna's service and be humble. That I'm not on the level, this great, great level, but at least I can do what I can do in my capacity in a humble way and serve those better than me. So then Prabhupada continues that we have to follow the footsteps of the Mahajans. Whatever is spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Vani Amritera Dharo Dara. Whatever is spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an incessant flow of nectar. We should follow that. And whoever accepts his words as reality can understand the essence of the absolute truth. So, and then Prabhupada starts, we're in the last page here, that if you follow Sankhya system or yoga system, Patanjali, you'll become attracted by the material energy. And then Prabhupada said something interesting. If we preach this philosophy, that everyone else basically is wrong and we are correct, everyone will think Vaishnavas are very sectarian. So the devotees nowadays, they don't want to be considered sectarian, so we can tend to say everyone is okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a real Mahajan, but misguided people cannot distinguish the real from the unreal. But persons who have awakened in Krishna consciousness can understand the real religious path chalked out by the Lord and his pure devotees. So, and Mahaprabhu approved of the path shown by the example of Madhavendra Puri. And then Prabhupada explains that the 12 Mahajans from the Bhagavatam, and then I'll just read the last paragraph, which when you hear this, and I've been speaking for so long and continuously, so I'd just like to tell you that after I read this paragraph, which isn't short, but it's not long, I'm going to ask you what you remember, and then what do you think? To select our Mahajans, you ready to accept the challenge? Okay. To select our Mahajans in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, we have to follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives. His next representative is Sarup Damodar Goswami. And the next representatives are the six Goswamis. Sri Rup, Sri Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath. A follower of Vishnu Swami was Sridhar Swami, the most well-known commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam. He was also a Mahajan. Similarly, Chandidas, Vidyapati, and Jayadev were also Mahajans, and they wrote very esoteric, very high literature about the dealings of Radha and Krishna. And these literatures were relished by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One who tries to imitate the Mahajans just to become an imitative spiritual master is certainly far away from following in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. So one should know one's position. Sometimes people cannot actually understand how a Mahajana follows other Mahajans. Prabhupada said that. Sometimes people cannot understand how a Mahajan follows other Mahajans. In this way, people commit offenses and fall from devotional service. Anyone remember anything? Please raise your hand. Yes.
The key point was that the lineage there, and knowledge is passed down. So again, knowledge comes from following the Mahajans.
So the Gaudiyas, because they have a goal, they have their Mahajans. So the goal is the goal that Mahaprabhu had, not the goal that the great Patanjali had, or the great followers of this or that, or mundane or even spiritual. The goal of Mahaprabhu has its own Mahajans, yes.
Some
sometimes people don't understand that a Mahajan follows other Mahajans. And if they don't understand that, they sometimes fall down.
Because they'll criticize. So would you like to comment on what Prabhupada had in mind when he put that in? Or would you rather just let it sink into people's?
I assume that he was referring to his godbrothers who were also exalted souls, who couldn't actually conceive of how what he was doing, which was so radically different from what they were doing, because they were all mostly in India, that they criticized him for not being a follower of their spiritual master, and therefore they became weakened to spiritual.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Perhaps in different words, but same point. Thank you. Anyone else remember something? I'm going to call on you. I'll give you 2 minutes to think. Anyone else remember something? Yes.
One should know his position and not try to imitate.
Yes. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Mataji.
Like the following the Mahajan is very important, else you will fall down. Like as Mataji said correctly, like every Mahajan has their own Mahajan and they are not trying to imitate them, but the principle, the essence is to understand the teaching and follow and continue the lineage.
Yes, and sometimes it's tricky because you have to catch the essence. Have to catch the essence.
Also, in the Brahma Samhita, there's a comment in the explanation by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta of two great acharyas in our line who presented slightly different emphasis and teachings, and how people can get really upset about this and take sides, and how he explains that there's somewhat of a mystery and why one great acharya says something slightly different than another one.
Where is that? You remember what verse?
I don't remember which verse, but it's in relationship to Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath.
Oh, yes, yes. 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 Thomas.
Me?
No, not me, you.
I was this body. I was thinking about the remembering always the goal, because when you have that that why, you can sustain the how. Because if not, when you get in difficulty, then you start thinking about dropping, and if you are not really like connected to, or you don't have a little bit of the flavor of that goal, then you might get stuck in difficulty.
Yeah, that's so important. It wasn't in here, but it was so important.
No, but you said it some.
Yeah. Because Krishna consciousness is so important at this point, that the goal has to be very burning very strongly in us. Otherwise, life and its difficulties will knock us over. Because life, it's not going to. I don't know how to break this news to you, but life isn't always easy. In fact, it's guaranteed to be somewhat troublesome. But if one has the goal burning so brightly in front of him, then by Krishna's grace, one can go through those difficulties. One might get scarred to some degree, but will go through them. Ready? Or you want to go after the next one?
Listen to your instructions, but not actually try to do exactly the same thing as that.
Well, I would say that it's a tricky distinction, as you're pointing out. But it's not that the rule is to not do the same thing, because sometimes, like they'll say, chant 16 rounds a day, so it's okay. So I don't want to imitate him, so I'll only chant one, or I'll chant 235 million rounds a day. So it's not quite that we don't do what they say, because that would be very frustrating for a Mahajan to, whatever I say, they're not going to do it, so therefore I have to say something different than what I mean, so that maybe they'll... But that's not what you meant.
No, I meant do what they say, but not exactly what they do.
Well, yeah.
All their instructions.
Yeah, yeah. And you have to catch the essence also. Yeah. But it's an interesting conversation to have. What does that mean? I think to refine our understanding of what it exactly means, but it's a conversation we won't have at the moment. Yes, Gopal, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, it's in the prophet speaking about the parampara. I was just thinking in my mind how I've often had that thought that why some acharyas are more, well, they carry the parampara and perhaps other devotees that were there, although maybe pure, I always wonder why they weren't. They didn't have the service of continuing as acharyas in Siddhartha's succession.
Well, maybe they, yeah. Prabhupada says prominent ones, usually that's the word that's often used that when we talk about disciplic succession, but why is one more prominent than another? And it depends on what your service is. So someone may be pure and have a service of sweeping the floor, and they may do that with great love for Krishna, and they could be on the same level as a person who is a great acharya of the world with thousands of disciples, but he has a different service to do. So the devotee always looks at what his service is, and he respects everyone else in their service and thinks, okay, somehow Krishna, even though I'm not qualified, even to sweep the floor properly, still Krishna has given me this service. I'm so fortunate because I have a service. This is so rare and so important to have seva. And he'll empower one, yeah. So it's, unless your service is to save the world, you don't have to worry about that. Let someone else do it. You just have to know what your service is and then do that with great devotion and conviction as an offering. Yeah, nice point. So many interesting things are coming out. Yes. No, you, not me. That was him, he was me. You were you.
I was just reflecting again on that point on, you know, not to imitate a Mahajan, but to follow their, you know, advice. And they usually say, you know, if you can't beat them, join them. Or they say,
don't beat the Mahajans. That was a great t-shirt, right? Don't beat the Mahajans.
And yeah, like you said, it's a very tricky situation to be in, because sometimes if you can't do something, you follow somebody and you try and, you know, see what they're doing and try and, you know, improve yourself. But you've got to take that distinction, not follow everything, because
you have to
make that distinction of how you take their advice.
But also you can take advice,
yeah,
from those who've also been through that part of the path already. That really helps. It's not that we have to figure out everything ourselves. But yeah, it's interesting topic. Therefore, associating with those who are in a similar situation, but a little bit, at least a little bit better, is very fortunate. Murlida and then Lalita, would you like? Nope. Murlida, yes.
Mahajan will show the direction to another Mahajan.
Takes direction, I think it was, wasn't it? The Mahajans follow the other Mahajans, yes.
And Prabhupada is saying here now to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yes.
So I understood that Prabhupada is also a Mahajan in that sense.
Well, yes.
That is what I understood from that.
Yes, yes, he's a Mahajan. Thank you. Yes, Paul.
Everyone said very wonderfully, I have nothing.
We can, but you heard something. What did you hear? That's all I ask, just for anything you remember. Maybe I'll just give you the book and you can read a little bit.
Mahajan, it's like everyone is Mahajan, actually. And
that's interesting. But where did you hear that?
It's like if you you serve everyone, you'll be serving the Lord.
Yeah, but how to serve is another thing. It's like everyone is sick, has a disease, but you have to be a doctor to know how to help them. Otherwise, you'll give them the wrong medicine, maybe.
First of all, you have to, serve yourself. It's like you have to cure yourself first, and then.
Or at least a little bit cure yourself, and then you can cure others to the level that you've cured yourself. At least you know what to do. But that doesn't mean everyone is a Mahajan.
Everyone has the potential to be a Mahajan.
Oh, that's such a nice point. Yes, thank you. But it's not what Prabhupada said, but it's an interesting point. Everyone has the potential. That means you too, right?
No.
Everyone but you has the potential to be a Mahajan. Yes, Paul.
See someone else having like a helipad, a helicopter that would take them to their yacht, but then take them to their private island. And then you said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, how much ever one tries, one will never be happy in this material world. That I felt connect to some extent. So,
yeah. The greatest step forward, he said. When we think like that, then we become humble. Don't feel bad, just become humble. A little bit bad you can feel. Jimmy, do you want to?
I think the one point that I was thinking is that it's sometimes it may be important to know that the Mahajan is following the other Mahajans or the previous Mahajans, so in that sense it can be the Guru Parampara system has been established, the Sampradaya system has been established. So that can be an acid test, especially in India, for example, there are so many so-called gurus who claim themselves as to be enlightened persons or incarnation of God even. So for the common people, they can actually test or they can actually understand if he's not following someone more senior or from the historical Mahajans, then he may not be bona fide. So
it can be hard to convince people, but yes.
Because of blind faith, and someone can just show some magic tricks and can do some hallucination, and people become so dedicated to them. They just have blind faith and do that. It goes to the other extreme where they might be doing all sort of illicit activities.
Or even if they're not doing illicit activities, even if they're just, if they're not on the highest rung of the ladder, so to speak. Yeah, so if we need to, that's why I started by saying you have to know the essence or you have to be just lucky. So our hope is in Krishna's mercy, I think.
Sincerity, Krishna will somehow guide us that if not, this does not seem to be the path that me or with what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And then he would you almost go like on an exploration journey as to which path I is more aligned with.
It sounds like you're describing your life.
Before coming to Srila
Prabhupada. Yeah, yeah.
But then coming to Srila Prabhupada shelter is very, very special.
Yes, thank you.
One should not take it lightly. But I should not take it lightly.
Yeah. Thank you. Linda?
I think I wrote from what you said to select our Mahajans, we have to follow the and the Mahaprabhu and his followers.
Okay, anyone else? I thought you had, yes.
It's more like a question, probably. The thing is, we are following Mahajan, right? The Prabhupada is a Mahajan and we are following his instruction. But sometimes it happened like, you know, in the regular life, we are trying to seek essence in that also. And my question is like, we might not dilute the essence, like, you know, during the practice.
But the question is really, we might dilute the essence.
Yeah, so is it...
And go in the wrong direction.
Yeah, am I really following Prabhupada, like whatever he has given us? Like, am I diluting this in the... Because whatever comforts us, we find it as its essence, like... So...
That's why it's so good to read Prabhupada's books and listen to his lectures, because he's just so straightforward. He'll say, these people are all rascals, they're all demons. And yeah, it's a tricky life that one needs association. Otherwise, because the mind is very tricky, is basically what you're saying. The mind is very... Did you want to speak? Or did you want to let me finish the sentence? Which would you prefer? Okay, I'll finish my sentence. Yes, the mind is very tricky. Yes, now you can explain.
I think with Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he gave different answers for the same question, depending upon different situations and depending upon different circumstances as well. So even when we are reading Prabhupada's books and trying to follow him, I think the context in which he has said certain instructions, it is helpful to understand that. And I think in the early days, some devotees were very much for wearing non-devotional clothes so that people can relate to them for book distribution, and some devotees were, no, you have to be devotional clothes. There are so many other examples like that, that even when you are following one Mahajan, then depending upon what instructions they give,
therefore, because you've left us with a problem,
yeah,
that Prabhupada sometimes will say one thing to one person, another thing to another person. So therefore,
take guidance from someone who is more closer to Srila Prabhupada.
And also, you have to read the whole book too. And also, there's a perspective on, like in a letter, in the early days, the devotees, every time someone got a letter, they gave it to everyone. And Prabhupada stopped that because the letters were personal instructions. So the instructions to one person may not be suitable for another. And so there's a hierarchy of authority. So the books are they're the top higher in the hierarchy. Yes, is this a question or a comment?
I was remembering, like, in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, some of the things that he would say, and I'd like to share my lecture on that.
Your lecture? Is that what you meant to say?
That there's one of the Lila where the devotees go, one devotee particularly, he asked Prabhupada, so how should we distinguish the essence and the details from each instruction? And Prabhupada said, well, that requires a little bit intelligence.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of the seventh chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam, where Ashvatthama is being chastised, and so like Krishna and on the other side are giving apparently contradicting instructions to Arjuna. So like he had to deal with that to get to the point. That demonstrates that it needs a little effort of individual effort to interpret it as correctly as possible each inspiration we receive from Mahajans.
Yes, but thank you. But there was one point that you missed in there, that Krishna gave Arjuna the hint of what he should do. So that instruction that requires a little intelligence requires some of Krishna's mercy. And since we may not be sure if we have the right discrimination, we should always consult with others. Even if we know what we should do, we should have that confirmed by others. Even if we think we know what should be done. Mahaprabhu said that to Sanatana Goswami. It is the nature of a sadhu to ask just to confirm, because the mind is very tricky. Okay. 10:30 almost. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, I wanted to read just a little bit more. Because I wanted to come to the next point. No, I won't. But soon in the next class, Mahaprabhu is going to enter Sri Vrindavan Dham. He's going to go on his purkam. He's actually going to be there. He's not going to explain philosophy, but he's going to show the example of how to be in Vrindavan. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada bhakti vrinda ki jai.